Well, this morning, I'd like to talk about the tongue. It's a little member. It's a little thing. And there's some interesting things about this tongue of ours. Hopefully we will be reminded this morning of how powerful that little tongue is and also how important it is to use it well, use it wisely. I guess it's just, I'd like to, a subtitle, I don't know if you want to put a subtitle to this, but another title could be Giving Account for Every Word. That gives a little bit of the thought. But the tongue is the title that I have here that I chose this morning. Interesting facts about the tongue. It's about 3 inches long, 3 to 4 inches, it depends. About three, total length. I can't stick mine out that far, and I won't demonstrate either. Tongues aren't just that, normally they don't. To see a tongue a little bit is all right, but to stick it out far doesn't look very appropriate. about two-thirds of it is what they would call the front portion or the anterior portion. And then there's also about one-third of it that goes more down into your throat or whatever. But just some facts. The other interesting thing is, so we have this tongue, and if you just imagine, this tongue about, I don't know how big you want to think of a tongue. So maybe 3 inches, 1, 2, 3 maybe inches going down into the tongue, into the throat. But then on that tongue, there's different estimations. I'm not quite sure where they come up with these things, but and of course, I couldn't count them myself, but they say somewhere, an adult, and I don't know about little children, but an adult, they say have somewhere between 2,000, and I even read somewhere up to 10,000, but the average adult, they say, has between 2,000 and 4,000 taste buds on your tongue. Your tongue is pretty important. During COVID time, when you got sick, and sometimes people lost their taste, that kind of just made food not be so pleasant. But you have between 2,000 and 4,000 little dots, little specks, so tiny, I can't even do it with this little marker. I couldn't put that many on here in the space of a tongue that I have here. It would just look black. It would just look completely black. And there's so many on there. And each one of those has between 50 to 150 receptors, little sensors. And those get replaced about 1 or 2 weeks. Every 1 or 2 weeks, they get replaced. God just replenishes. It's amazing. The tongue is an amazing little thing. Which I'm not going to be focusing on the eating, the digestive system, that part of it necessarily, but I thought it was an interesting little piece. God made our tongues. It's a very important part in our life. That's one aspect, is the tasting, the taste bud, that part of it. There's another part that I'd like to talk about more this morning, and that is we use it to speak. We use our tongue to speak and to communicate a lot. If we were all dumb, is what they would call that, I think. We're speechless, you can't speak. You can still speak with sign language. Now, I wish I could do some sign language. I can't. I mean, I think a simple thing as going like this is please. There's little simple things, and I think if you're all done with something, you can go like this. You're all done. There's other things. I think some of my children know some of those things better than I do. But your speech, you can get a lot more. And we still speak with our body language and all those things. We still do that. But you can speak with your tongue. You can speak while you're on the phone with somebody. They don't even have to see you one bit. But that tongue can pronounce things. And then, of course, you need an ear to hear that as well. Or somebody gives you a listening ear as well. But the tongue is a very important little piece there. And we use it to speak. And this is just the foundation of what I want to talk to us about this morning. That the words and the interesting things, how we use our tongue. There's estimations. These are estimations. There has actually been some research done according to the Arizona University of Arizona. They attached devices to, I forget how many people, to calculate how many words they say in a day. This was a recent survey. Earlier research teams or whatever, I don't know what they went by, but there was claims that, you know, men maybe do have 12,000 words and women have another 10,000 more. But according to this Arizona research team, they found that not true. When they did actual recordings, they found that not true. So where that is, I don't know. But the thing that I want us to think about is you speak a lot of words. You and I speak a lot of words. We speak a lot of words. How many of you actually do they, according to that Arizona research team, they came out, of course it says it depends on your age, depends on your culture, and some other factors of course, but most people on average will speak around 16,000 words a day. That's per day. 16,000 words a day. Yeah, that's a lot of words. I thought, well, I'm going to put it in a little bit more. 16,000 words. You know, if any one of us thinks, you know, Brother Joe, if you think of yourself as saying 16,000 words, 16,000 words, that's just a huge number. You know, it's kind of hard to put it in a nutshell that we can really understand how many words do we actually speak. Now, that's not saying that everyone does exactly that, but close to that. Is an average. I ended up counting the words on one page of the book by Johnny Miller, Heartbridge. Some of you have read that book concerning his time in Romania. And I estimated, counting the pages, I took out the picture part section, counting the pages, and I actually reduced some because not all of the pages are completely full. But a guesstimation that I would have is around 78,000 words in that little book. The book is, I would say, it's not a real big book. It's maybe something like that, maybe 5.5 inches by almost 9 inches tall, maybe something like that, guessing. And it's only, I would say, probably about a half inch or 5/8 inch thick. Something like that. That has about 78,000 words. 78,000 words. Then another book by Romain Stauffer, led by his hand, had about 80,000 words, which is very close. So I took those numbers and I said, so if we would put all the words that you and I speak into a book, the average person would write about one book every 5 days. The average person would write a book that size. Every 5 days, there's a new one released, a new one released, a new one. Every 5 days, a new one released. Or 73 books in a year. Stack's getting pretty big. Or 3,650 books in the 50 years from the age 20 to the age 70. I didn't want to include the little children because I didn't know how much they speak, but just put the adults in there. Anyway, that's a lot of words. 3,000 some books from the age of, Albert, I guess you're past that already, probably. Yeah. You know, so 3,000 plus books of words that we have spoken. And why is that such a big deal? Why is that such an important thing? Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. And while you're doing that, your words, they can be kind, they can be gentle, they can build, they can tear down, they can be happy, they can be sad, they can be cheerful, they can be unkind, they can be loving, they can be hateful, they can be harsh. All kinds of things our words can be. 3,600 books in a lifetime, or more than that, in a lifetime, is an exorbitant, huge library of books. What have our words been? It's a good question for us to think. I haven't always spoken words that I wish I would have. And the sad thing is, you can speak words. I say the sad thing. God ordained it that way, and He had it for purposes. But I think the thing that we need to recognize is this is an important thing for us to consider. The words that we speak, we can never take them back. We can never recoil them. We can never reverse them. The words that you said yesterday, they were said. There's things that I have said sometimes that I wish I wouldn't have said. Sometimes it's true, but the way it's said, sometimes the attitude that it's said in. But the words we say, the tongue, it's so important how we use that little thing that just flies around in our mouth so easily. James chapter 3, 1 through 12 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea and is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Sorry, I went one verse further than I was going to read, but that's fine. If you're wise, you will use your knowledge. You will have a good conversation. So, but the tongue here, this the message in this chapter here is talking about that first part. There is talking specifically about the tongue and how unruly it can be. How easy little things can slip out that we wish would never have been said. Also there's a verse. I should have looked it up. I believe it's in Proverbs or in Psalms, where as maybe somebody can help me. Apples of gold, as apples of gold are in pitchers of silver, so is a word fitly spoken, or something like that. I might have reversed the order of, but it kind of has that. So in other words, the words that we speak can be very, very, very valuable, extremely valuable in building as well as extremely destructive. The words that we speak can be that way. And for an example, if I tell you this morning, you did a really good job at caring for your siblings this morning. If I tell you that, that can be a big encouragement. If I tell you in the same, if I tell you, you have been just such a rotten example, you're such a rotten whatever, those words can cut. Sometimes it's true, but and sometimes that truth needs to be spoken, maybe, but maybe not quite in those terms. I wouldn't use words like that. I don't think it'd be right to use words like that, even to our own children. But maybe you've been a bad example. Some of that truth needs to be also expressed. But how we express that is so important. The words we speak, the books that we are writing, what books are we writing? And when I say books, I'm talking about the words that we're using. I never wrote a book, but I wrote, in theory, I wrote many books already in words. And the reason I think it's important for us to think of it in this way, we'll be looking at it some more, in scripture. I didn't make my points clear maybe, but the first point I would like for us to think about, the tongue that God has given to us, the tongue is used to speak. The tongue is used to speak. And it's just a little thing, it's a, something, whatever, that's how it's used. The next point that I'd like to get into here is we will give an account for every word that we speak. We will give an account for every word that we speak. And so those books that are piling up in our life, you like it or not, it's coming out. We're going to give an account. Yesterday I was doing accounting with my accounting software system in the on my computer, and I wasn't agreeing with the banks, and that's not a good thing, you know, when you're not agreeing with the banks. Which the problem was on my part; it wasn't on their part. I ended up digging a little bit more and found out I'd missed a transaction. But sometimes it's difficult to find those things, it's always good for us, if you do any bookkeeping, it's always good for you to do some account, to take account, to have a day when you reconcile, and if you're having trouble reconciling, the more often you do it, the better off you are. The same thing is true spiritually. If you're struggling with your words, with using wrong words, words that you shouldn't use, it's better to use, to more often than not, take those things into account. What am I saying? You know, and check. Check them more often. And if it doesn't match up to what the Word of God teaches us to how we should speak, whether it's in love, whether it's just holy conversation, pure conversation, godly conversation, those words, if those things are, if it doesn't match up to that standard, to the standard that we have in God's Word, then our checkbook is off balance. We will give an account for everything that we have spoken. we're writing stacks of books, and someday we're going to give an account. And it's important for us to do that today, because we have, today is the day of mercy and grace. Today is a day when there's still salvation. And God, there's, like we heard this morning, repentance. When we see that we have done wrong, we can repent of those things. We can say, I'm sorry. But there's a day coming when that last chapter of our books have been written, and we're going to have to give an account. What have we done? What have we done? And I do believe even if we've repented, I don't know, I think there's consequences for some of the things we said, but I do think that there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for those things, if we repent, through the blood of Jesus, there's forgiveness. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, if you would, please. These are some scripture that give us insight into us giving account for everything that we speak. Matthew chapter 12. So your tongue is used to speak, number one, and number two, and we will give an account for every word. Every word. Every word. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. In other words, there's going to be a time of reconciliation. You're going to reconcile the account. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words. By the words that you and I have said. And so, what I get out of this, every word, he specifically mentions every idle word there in that passage, verse 36. Every idle word we're going to give an account for. But he says, in verse 37, he also says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so I believe every word is actually going, is being recorded, I don't know how that all is, exactly, excepting it's there. It will stand to judge us in the last day. The words that we have spoken, the things, that we have said, will either be for us or against us, and the importance of choosing those things. And hopefully, by the end here, I want to also give us some ways. So if this is such a huge thing, how do we get the right words there? So, but hopefully, just bear with me a little bit. But every idle word that men shall speak, it doesn't say necessarily every blasphemous word, every swear word, every cuss word. It says every idle word. And I'm afraid we could be guilty of that more than we think. I really think so. And I think we should have a little bit more of a consciousness of what words are coming out of our mouth. Specifically, when I was looking this up in the Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge, that cross-reference, it said, a word that, this concerning the idle word, it says, a word that produces no good effect. A word that produces no good effect and is not calculated to produce any. It's just a word. It's kind of filler word. You just kind of extra words you just put in. It produces no good effect. It's not there to really produce good. That's an idle word, is what that would seem to be there. And the Greek, when I looked it up in the Greek, it's basically inactive or unemployed. It's an inactive or an unemployed word. It's just has no task to do. It's translated into, another meaning is, by implication, it'd be lazy or useless. And then it's translated into barren, idle, and slow, concerning the word there. Anyway, so we're going to give an account for every word. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In Ecclesiastes 5:2, just really quickly, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And I think just the idea of the writer there in Ecclesiastes is, in light, and I think even, I'd just like to bring that in light of all the words that we speak. Let's choose them carefully. Let's choose them carefully. Let's be careful what we speak. Because God is in heaven, you are on earth, and we're going to get judged. We're going to be judged by those things. Also, just really quickly, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein unto I send it. And the reason I brought that scripture verse in is God's words are not like our words. You know, we can have a lot of words. They can be meaningless. They can be helpful. They can be here or there. And some are true and some are not true. Some of the things that we say sometimes, I mean, we should only speak the truth. But if there is, but there are some that do not always speak the truth. But God, the thing that I want us to think about, God has also given us the Word, the Bible, and every word that God has spoken, everything that God has spoken, every word, every principle, every, and I know that you, if you talk about translations, that I'm not talking about about translation errors and all those things. I'm not talking about, but the heart, the message, the thought behind it, the message behind those words, what that meant, everything is going to be accomplished. Everything. Not one of those things is going to fall to the ground. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth. That's in Isaiah 55 verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. Also, Brother Jason read this morning in Matthew 24, where Jesus says, my words shall not pass away. Again, God's words, when he speaks, it happens. God's word happens. But anyway, we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. That's one of the things that God spoke and said that's going to happen. That's how sure that is, that you and I are going to give an account for those 3,000 plus books that we're writing. What did we write? What are we writing? I know maybe I'm not at 3,000 yet, but maybe I'm at, if you would add your 73 books a year and since 20 years, that would, I shouldn't do my math up here. I'll embarrass myself. But you have a lot of books in short order, you know. And just even since last year, this time, about 73 books have been written. I mean, 73, in theory, 73 books have been written for me. And what have I said? What have I said that I'm going to give an account for? What have you said that you're going to give an account for? So I'd like for us to, I'd like to do a little bit of a picture for us here. Now, I wish I were a better artist. I know that hopefully this picture doesn't destroy because of the oddness of it. I should have somebody else. Your heart is. But it says out of the abundance of that thing is what comes out. Okay, so there's things that are coming out of the heart, out of the mouth, that tongue is speaking. So, and we're going to give an account for all of those things that are flying out. Since this morning, you have spoken many, many words. Maybe some of you don't speak very much early in the morning, but by evening, you will have spoken thousands of words probably. most of us. So, I want us to think about the next point. What we put in comes out. What we put in comes out. So in light of this whole tongue subject and what we speak, what you and I put in is what's going to come out. How do we change that? How do we change if we notice that if we've taken account and we're like, the bank account isn't lining up and I don't like what I see and that's not good. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't have said that. How do we change that? How do we change that? Well, it matters what we put into a heart. It matters so much what we put in. So, some of the things that where these things come in into our heart, one of them is in through our eyes. Okay, what we see. What we look, what pictures we look, what things we fill our minds with, you know, it's going into our heart. It's also what we hear. What we hear there. So if we hear a lot of bad language, if we hear a lot of things, bad conversation, bad things, it will tend to affect the way that we also will speak one day. If we aren't speaking right away, it can affect, and will probably affect, if we keep feeding ourselves with those things in the future. all of these things that where the inflow is, we have control at least to some extent. Not totally. If you are locked up in like the those that were kidnapped in Haiti, they were locked up in that little room there, and the rock music was going on the outside, and the filthy language and all those things were going on. To a certain extent, they couldn't block out all of that. Not completely, but they could do some things, and some of those things was sing. They could sing, they could talk about God's word and encourage each other. In that way, choosing what they are hearing. We have control of what we see, what we do. There's another piece there that I want us to think about, and that is our thoughts. What we're thinking about. That ends up kind of being a little bit in a forever loop, maybe, where it kind of cycles around, because what we see affects what we think, what we hear affects what we think. But if we take those things, we can create more things out of those thoughts. That's why I want us to think about those thoughts as well. So that all those things combined together end up coming into what the Bible would call our heart. When Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what you and I are thinking, what you and I see, what you and I hear, will affect what comes out tomorrow, will affect what comes out later in the day. It's just a fact. The Bible says that what's in there is going to come out. And if you keep feeding it, it's going to come out. And do you want to? So it's important that you surround yourself with God's Word, like we were hearing this morning. And there's many ways that we can surround ourselves with the Word of God. And that is one of the ways is reading it a lot. Memorizing, that's a good thing for us to do. Another thing is who we find as our close friends, who we find as being those that we fellowship with, can affect it tremendously, because we like what they say. We like to hear what they say, and so we try to repeat what they say. And that can tremendously impact what comes out of our mouth. What we hear, what we see, and what we think is what we say. The tongue. And you can see that there in verse 34 of Matthew. We had read it earlier. It says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And also in Luke 6:45, just really quickly there, says, "A man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs 4, verse 23. I just like for us to take very, just to take account in our own lives what we are listening to, who we're listening to, what we're seeing, and what we're thinking. I'd like for us to think about that, in light of that point. What we put in comes out. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." These things that I was talking to you about just a little bit ago, that, you know, if we're talking about the heart, and we're just talking about a little piece, the tongue, but these things also affect everything else in our life, our walk of life, or the way we live, and so forth as well. So out of it are the issues of life. In a very practical way, I thought it'd be good to just mention a few things. I hope I don't put words in the innocent mind, but still, I just, even in my work, not because I work with Christian Aid, but some of the other people that we get in contact with due to software and so forth with working with Christian Aid, some of their webinars, some of their conferences and things like that, they're not all Christians. And so we bump into words that are said that I don't think that you and I, or that I think some of us perhaps can latch onto and run away with, not thinking and not realizing what it really means. And so I share these words. I don't want you to start using them. And I'm actually asking, let's please not use them. But I thought it'd be good for us just simply to recognize them, so that you know. I know when I was young, a teenager, there was a message preached down, not necessarily on the tongue, but concerning some words that are prevalent, and that was helpful for me to catch those things and to mark them. That's bad. And to do that, and it's important for us to do that as we process things, as we hear things. God gives us the ability to reject those things, even though we've heard them, and we recognize that that's not good. That's not something that ever should come out of my mouth. So we don't accept it. And so words that we should not use, and this is maybe just kind of a little conclusive little statement here. It's not necessarily as a separate point, really. but you can think about this when you think of what you put in is going to come out. Words that I don't believe we should ever use are words like heck, and that's H-E-C-K. Some people use it like, I don't even like to use it because I don't want to show you how to do it. If you hear it, they use it as an interjection. I think, no, I'm not quite sure what term you use that anymore on the interjection, I think, is in a sentence, where it basically describes maybe, you can use it in all kinds of ways. That word is actually a form of the word hell, H-E-L-L. And it's used very, very commonly in even so-called Christian circles, I believe. It's not a word that you and I should use. It's not something that we should be speaking. because if you take it to that, if you would use that word hell, and you would say that's a hell amount of beans for us to do today, that's bad. It's not that's used. And if you go to the definition of hell, even in that sense, it's like horrible. In one of the senses, it's used as a horrible, miserable place. And in the other sense, I forget exactly what the second sense was on that. It was sense number 4 and number 2 in the Webster's Dictionary for hell. That's what that word can mean. But so I'm just pointing that out. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. of course, the word hell in that context. If you're talking about heaven and hell, that's fine. If you're talking about hell as an adjective of, you know, it's hot like that outside, no, you shouldn't use those words. It's an exaggeration, or it can defile you pretty quickly if you use a strong language like that as well. Another word, I don't hear it quite as much, but I have. And it probably would come a little bit down the line of cussing and swearing. I didn't want to look up a whole bunch of cussing and swear words so you get familiar with it, but one of those that I've heard, is damn it, which is normally used, it's an expression to show that one is angry or annoyed, basically. We shouldn't use words like that. Another word that I have heard as well is just simply the word Jesus. Just say the word Jesus. And I believe the reason, the word Jesus in itself is not wrong, but to use it in that form, you could be very likely be doing what it says, taking the name of God in vain. You could, and others that I think about is, oh my God, or, you know, but think about that. Everything that we say, we're going to give an account. Why did you say that? Why did you say that? Another one that I believe we perhaps could be guilty of is the word geez. I'm not sure, but I think I've heard it, or a form of that word, and I don't think we should use that word. And the reason for it, I looked it up. From the definition, from what, this is, of course, modern dictionary. So this is what they say, and I'm just pointing it out. The reason why we should stay away from a word like this is because it says it's used as a mild oath or introductory expletive, whatever, not quite sure how to pronounce that word. Expletive? EXPLETIVE. anyway, and it's to express surprise. You know, but some people have used things like that. And maybe it's just kind of a Dutchified word that I've already heard some of my relatives use, kind of in that type of. I'm not sure if it's the same word that they're trying to use, but I think we need to be careful about our words. I want to highlight that. Another, just a closing scripture in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians here real quick. One last scripture I'd like to leave with us in light of helping us to be careful what we put in there in our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm not sure which chapter I told you to go to. Chapter 10, verse 5. It says, a casting down imaginations. Those are the things that go on up in here. They're the things that go on up here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I know I'm just taking that kind of in the middle, but I just that the whole thing that we are responsible for the thoughts that you and I think. And God has also given us the ability to go and capture that thought. Go and capture that thing that you were thinking and say, no, wait a minute, you do not belong here. I give you no place here. And in that way, we can control, by God's grace, God gives us that grace. By God's grace, we can control what comes out of our mouth. If we want to control what books are being written, what all those words are that come out, we can do that by taking those thoughts into captivity. By the things that you and I think, we can control that by God's grace. God gives us that ability to do that. Just a couple little things, food for thought, or food things to for us to think about in light of the tongue, and in light of giving account for every word that we speak. I think it's important for us to think about, just in a very practical way, what our conversations are about, even as a family. We need to be careful about the words that we speak, fathers, mothers, to our children. We can. I'm in need of these things myself. You know, sometimes you, recognizing the need of, and the importance of being careful about these things. Because sometimes little things, little attitudes that you and I have as parents flow off into our children, and things that we have heard and things that we speak and repeat, they hear and they repeat. And the chain goes on. And so we can do something about that by changing what we put in. We can do something about that by changing that influence in our own life and for our children as well. One encourages, watch out, or watch out. That's not what I mean to say, but guard over your tongue. Watch over your tongue. God has given us the ability to do that, I believe. It shouldn't be, like James says, a lot of mixture of good and evil. That's not the way the Christian should be. That would be a two-faced thing. And God has made that thing a very powerful thing. We can use it to build, or we can use it to destroy. And I just want to encourage us, we can use it this morning in a very positive way. I just want to encourage myself, encourage us all to use that little thing that has so much potential for God's glory and not just for our own benefit. So anyway, trust that those thoughts can be an encouragement just to be careful with the words that we speak, because of the fact that we're going to give an account for everything that we have said, and everything that we let go into our minds is also something that's going to come out. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you for your attention.